Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like...
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z rewatch podcast. I am your host, Tyler, which is a thing I don't say sometimes, I've noticed, while editing. So I'm going to say it for sure this time.
We just assume.
Oh, thank goodness. I just thought you were some stranger.
I thought we were all equally the host. Into.
We are equally the host, but I'm the one that hosts the hosts.
Mm-hmm. Who hosts the hostman?
The superior host.
Joining the discourse this time is Jason.
Hello.
Aaron.
Hi.
And Matt.
Howdy.
You all are joining me to finish off season 2 of Dragon Ball Z as designated by Funimation.
Just lick up every last morsel from our plate.
We're just gonna polish off this pot roast.
If we're being technical, we're also dipping into season 3 a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit of dessert. On to the next course, I say.
Exactly.
Just a little
tote. Every week on this podcast, we cover 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. This week, we'll be covering episodes 73, 74, and 75. But before that, I wanted to talk to you guys about a little Dragon Ball-related topic.
Oh?
There's such a thing in this show as a signature move, I would say. The characters all tend to have one or two techniques that is sort of signature to their personality and their characterization.
Right. I honestly gotta hand it to Toriyama to making distinguishing moves for this show, especially in the Z universe, where I feel like everything gets a lot less mystical and supernatural and more just down to beams. So having signature move in a world where it's just like space karate, it's like, how is this beam different? Well, this one, you gotta charge up and there's a little spiral thingy. How's this beam different? Well, it's a disc and it cuts things. Props to the team for, you know, making different flavors.
And also just making them recognizable to the character, like inherent to that character.
Because when you think Goku, what do you think?
You got the Kamehameha, you got the Spirit Bomb.
If you're listening to the Big Green Dub, every move is a Kamehameha. Doesn't matter.
Every single one. It's like his Yabba Dabba Doo in that show.
Yabba Dabba Ha!
But, you know, Piccolo, he has his special beam cannon, and Krillin, he's got his destructive discs.
Mm-hmm.
And Tien has IP theft.
Yeah, his move is DMCA takedown.
Ooh, that's a good move.
And as we've recently seen, Goldo can freeze time, and Ginyu can switch bodies with people.
And Jason Berter can zoom.
Can be a purple tornado together.
Yeah. I'm going to say that we're a long, long way from fusion being a thing. But I will say Jason Berter, super well.
Oh boy.
Buckle up.
I'm so excited. I love getting to experience this show non-linearly in time. Like, it's so fun. Because then, like, I don't know, the spoilers don't bug me. Because then it's like, oh man, I get to look forward to that.
It's like experiencing Dragon Ball Z like it's a Vonnegut novel.
Capsule House 5.
What I wanted to ask you guys is, at this point in time, it might change as you see more in the future, but at this point in time, what would you say your signature move would be like? And if you have a name for it, too. If you personally were transported to the world of Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, fan fiction.
What would you concoct?
Oh, beams. Okay, let me think.
My first thought was something friendship-based, since I'm making a little Goku friendship bracelet to keep my hands busy while recording, but I think I've got a better idea.
Oh?
So it's a move, it has to be, well, it doesn't have to be in the vicinity of a wall, but it'll work better if there's a wall nearby. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much charging up, but I have to maintain eye contact with the opponent for a significant period, and then the thing I yell is just like a non sequitur, like, we really have to get milk at the supermarket. Or, you're taking me to the party, right? And then it's like an emotional attack that gets them ready for me to punch them real good, because it has the same emotional effect as stepping up onto the stage with no idea what's happening, and you've never taken an improv class because you've been too busy doing karate.
So your attack is my nightmare of being in a school play that I don't remember signing up for, and then having to walk on stage and make it up as I go.
Precisely.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yes, and Slam. That's its name.
Yes! Oh, shit. I'm thinking it's got to be something with a lot of flair, a lot of style. Something that's probably not as effective as it is flashy. Flashy and slashy. Ooh, okay. So there, I know at some point in Super, I haven't gotten very far in Super, but I know that there's a part where there are many signature attacks that focus energy into a blade shape to do things, right?
Sure.
I'm not nuts. Like, there is a good blade shape.
It happens.
Yeah. Also, if you're playing the Goku block on Dragon Ball FighterZ and you manage to pull off a level 3 super, that kind of anime nonsense.
Down heavy.
Down heavy. Well, that, yeah, 2H to punish. That's probably what it would be. It would involve some kind of a keyblade extending out of my hands. Maybe a keyblade,
you say?
You stop it.
Wait, like Kingdom Hearts keyblade, or like...
Nope.
Like Ki attack.
This is a... I'm putting the kibosh here. The Ki kibosh, because it is a Ki energy... Not simple and clean. There's nothing simple nor clean about this.
Not like the Latin symbol key.
Does Goofy show up to assist?
Goofy always shows up to assist. Okay. I've decided. I make a keyblade out of key, and I swirl around and slash him, and then I dab at the end.
And then explosion.
Yeah.
That's a very good thing.
That's my summon at that point. Shit.
is the explosion where you slashed, or is the explosion like behind you?
It's behind me in a very cool like anime, or I just beat the Power Ranger monster in a cool way and his rubber suit is exploding.
So Goku confirmed for Smash and Kingdom Hearts 3.
So what's the name of your attack?
Simple and Beam. Nailed it.
That hits me.
My special attack would be very much inspired by one Piccolo uses later on, the Helzo grenade, where but I'm gonna combine it with the multi-form technique, where I make a bunch of copies of myself and they all just kind of like rush the bad guy, and there's just like a flurry of fists and kicks. But none of them are hidden. They're all purposefully missing. And then the real me just kind of like sneaks up behind them and then kicks them in the dick.
The classic. The upset. What would you call this?
I call it Darkness, My Old Friend.
Very nice.
Behold my stand. All right, Tyler. All right, our host.
Mm-hmm.
What you got for us?
Mine's pretty simple.
Yeah?
I raise my hands into the sky, and they both shoot beams up into the air, and those beams sort of expand outwards across the world, and they target all of the computers in the world, and they delete every podcast that isn't ours. This is called net neutrality.
Level playing field. my brethren, who?
Well, now that Destructive Discourse is the only podcast you have to listen to, we should probably get started.
Yeah, we gotta give the people not only what they want, but the only thing they can have.
So as I mentioned before, this week we're covering episodes 73, 74, and 75. Episode 73, the English title is... I forgot.
It's really good.
It is really good.
May I recite it?
Sure, go for it.
Gohan, defeat your dad.
How many exclamation points, Jason?
Say again?
How many exclamation points?
I wrote down one.
There is two.
Oh, beans. Ah.
Do you also have the Japanese title?
Oh, I sure do. It roughly translates to, "That guy isn't me. Gohan, don't lose your nerve. Hit your father." So, depending on the translation, I've gotten both "hit your father" and "shoot your father." So, okay. All right, then. The theme for this
Blast
week is...
that, daddy.
Fight your dad. Today, fight your dad, maybe.
The sequel to Dream Daddy.
It's the fighting game adaptation.
Fight your dads.
The episode begins with Ginyu demanding a readout of his power on the scouter.
Jace!
Oh, yeah.
Get a read on my big dick energy!
Jace lets him know it's 2,300, or 23,000, rather.
Yeah.
Not that great.
Kind of low.
Yeah.
It was a bit smaller than it was last time.
Well, that means that the playing field is level-ish now, so now Gohan and Krillin actually stand a fighting chance against Ginyoku here.
Yeah, he's about Krillin level fighting power, it seems like.
A hefty insult if ever I've heard one.
Goku lets Ginyu know that he won't be able to use the full power if he can't use his mind and body as one. You know, the thing that Goku does all the time.
Uses his mind.
He's a big mind guy.
Yeah, alright. I don't buy it, Goku.
What Goku is failing to get across is he has to use his psychic powers that he has.
Because Goku's a psychic.
Krillin and Gohan launch their counterattack.
Very synchronized as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they make a good team. They did some good flips.
I did like these kicks. Flips. These flips were so nice, they showed them to us twice. Because we
sure
see the exact
did.
Same thing
maybe,
later on.
Maybe three times? I felt like I saw the same animation a lot of times. Especially
I believe
the
it.
One of them punching him in the gut.
They drew those punches real good. They wanted to make sure you saw.
Good.
Bask in the punches. Gohan is still having some trouble punching a guy that looks like his dad, though.
Gohan, you gotta fight your dad today.
Listen to
Didn't
the
you
title.
Hear the title?
Which is you in the future, maybe? Somebody asked Gohan as an adult, like, what regret do you have that you would like to tell your childhood self about? And he just says, I wish I punched my dad more.
While I had the chance.
Yeah.
While he was 23,000.
God.
It's the only time.
I do notice Krillin, unlike Gohan, is really eager to start whooping on Goku.
They're both probably working out some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's been a while since Krillin's had that opportunity.
Yeah.
It's gotta be a little bit cathartic.
Gohan's processing some things, you know, maybe some abandonment things, maybe some being forced to focus on interplanetary conflict at the age of five things. Just kid stuff. Growing up.
We all went through this.
I will note that Gohan gets a dust clearing.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Ginyoku beams him with something purple, and he blocks it, and he just gets a cool dust clearing.
That's my boy.
That's something that I want to remember to talk about later.
Okay.
Is the color of those beams. I thought
that
was interesting.
They were all purple, poiple.
Mm-hmm. That suggests some things about how beams work, I guess.
They were all milky cannons. You know, Ginyu's famous attack.
Yeah,
I'm
his signature
sorry.
Move, the milky cannon.
Oh, man. I remember when they recalled all the Milky Cannons from gas station candy aisles in, like, the late 90s.
You know, I always thought that was, a weird attack title until these recent recordings.
Because of the Dairy Boys?
Because of the Dairy Boys.
Ginyu still refuses to surrender, even though he's getting his ass handed to him now by a bald man and a kid.
Yep.
And
both
Vegeta,
of which come up to his knee.
Yeah, Vegeta decides now is the time to make his appearance, and he steps out to take care of Jace.
Hi there, buddy.
Doesn't he say, like, it's time to pick on someone my own size?
I just remember calling Jace Snow White.
Yeah,
which I'm a big fan of.
Was it Vegeta? Somebody mentioned a fairy tale before in space. It was Vegeta with Beauty and the Beast, right? Or no, that was Zarbon.
That was Zarbon.
Zarbon, yeah, Zarbon.
Big old fan of Grimm, you know, in
a lot
space.
A lot of Disney flicks at the Frieza base.
Yeah, they're...
I think Zarbon is a big fan of the Princess Bride.
Is Frieza's favorite Frozen?
I mean, it would have to be, right?
Frozen could very easily have been a really great villain origin story. So I think Frieza likes the idea of Frozen, but is really disappointed that, like, Elsa became good instead of conquering the world.
He turns it off when Anna becomes a statue.
It's like, all
he
right.
He says, another movie well done. Thank you, Disney. And then he goes to conquer a planet somewhere.
Beautiful. I have a question for this podcast.
Yeah?
Do you want to kill a planet?
We could go and start a war. Todoria, get off your ass. Leaving fast.
Zarbon, get the door.
Oh boy.
We should take Vegeta. Because he's a jerk. And also, he's really short. Do you want to kill a planet?
It doesn't have to be a planet.
And then Cooler just says, okay, bye.
You know, honestly, Cooler and Frieza are my favorite Disney princesses. Highly underutilized by their merchandising team.
Can't wait to see them in Wreck-It Ralph 3. When Disney finally buys anime.
Can I make a special request where someone just make a fan fiction of where they just take the Frozen script and replace Elsa and them with Frieza and Cooler?
Matt Dave is busy enough as it is. We can't keep giving him these.
It's very simple. It's a control V, control C situation.
Yeah, of the fanfics we've come up with, that's the simplest one.
I don't know who, like, what Cooler's deal is, but I feel like Frieza is way too chill. Mm-hmm. Like, Elsa, for somebody with ice powers, she's not very chill.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe young Frieza.
You just haven't
have
seen
things to...
You just haven't seen Frieza's diva side yet.
It's coming.
Oh boy.
Frieza... Wait, I haven't seen Frieza's diva side? I feel like that's all there
not
is.
Not yet.
Oh.
Oh, boy. This is not even her final form. I said her, that was my mistake, I'm sorry. Again, for the longest time growing up, thought Frieza was a girl.
Vegeta is sure that he's a Super Saiyan now.
He's gotta
Don't
be, right?
Tell me!
He decided off screen. If Kakarot gets to be one, then I must be one.
That means I am too.
Gotta be,
I'm as strong as he is.
I'm the prince of all Saiyans. I have to be the strongest. It's the law that I made.
Vegeta keeps walloping on Jace. He just, like, is kicking him into the sky.
And he has just got this cockiest smile the entire fight.
He's very happy with himself.
Come and get a slice of this quiche.
Nail still getting his ass kicked also.
Ooh.
My next note is everyone's just punching. There's just lots of punches everywhere from everyone.
It is chest day on Namek. Because Frieza delivers two fists into Nail's back and his chest balloons out in this body horror Namekian stretchy Armstrong bullshit.
What was going on with that?
It was mortifying. What I saw was horrifying. The sound design of the stretchy part was horrifying. His scream shout was horrifying. I hated all of it.
He
had like dents in his shoulder blades when he was getting up.
I'm pretty sure this just confirms that Namekians are elastic.
I mean they are stretchy.
Yeah, they just get like elastic consistency to them.
I guess they do have some kind of breaking point, because you can tear their limbs off, as we've seen.
It's like a safety measure.
Yeah.
You know, like the crumple zones in cars.
Just one step closer to knowing the texture of a Namekian.
You can't pull Stretch Armstrong forever before his cornstarch innards start spilling out.
Oh no.
Back at the main fight, Goku is coaching from the sideline. It's about all he can do in that busted up body. But Gohan is threatened by a ki blast, and Goku jumps in and catches it, saves the day.
Swats it out of the air.
Mm-hmm.
because that one was just slightly stronger than the one that Gohan blocked earlier, I guess.
It would be too much for him.
Fighting his dad, he saved his real dad. His spirit dad.
That sounds like it should be profound, but I don't think it is.
I buy it.
Have you found your spirit dad?
A sensible plan is reached, which is, hey, let's all attack him at once.
Whoa!
All of us together.
Yeah.
Taking turns?
No, all of us.
At the same time.
Not making it like a tournament or game?
Aaron, all of us.
And at different times, though, right?
No, Aaron, all at the same time.
I don't understand.
I can't comprehend.
Why would we do that?
Why didn't they play rock, paper, scissors for turns?
Our society is built on turns.
Surely their ATB gauges aren't all full at the same time.
Oh, God.
We have to roll for initiative.
Duh. That's how fighting works. Gokinyu has learned how to bleed less, so he's ready to also join he limps into the fray.
He says he's learned how to control the body more, even though all he's been doing is just standing there watching.
He's just been applying pressure to the wound. Yeah.
He hasn't learned how to control the problem isn't that he didn't know how to control the body, it's that the body was beat to heck. It's like a lemon car.
The mind The mind is willing, but the body is weak and spongy.
Like a Namekian.
Yeah.
In veins.
Too many.
Too many veins. Not much blood in them.
No, not anymore.
But boy, howdy are their veins.
Just empty veins.
Just lots of real estate. Ready for blood.
Come on in. Open house. Walking tour.
As much as he's been bleeding, he's got very high blood pressure.
Yeah, weirdly enough.
Really see a doctor.
Vegeta is done toying with Jace. He chops his armor open, and as Jace shouts, "No!" blows him the fuck up.
He says no several times, honestly. No! Vegeta, no! No! Come on, Vegeta! Vegeta! Would you call this attack yet another, like, proto Big Bang, or Final Bash, or Big B, Big Bang, Big B?
It's probably closer to the Big Bang. Except it's not spherical.
Final Flash is the
Big Beam Theory. Such a fun show. I love these smart boys trying to fight the girl next door.
That was Vegeta's Big Bazinga attack.
I'm damaged. I need a Zenkai boost before I can be on the podcast again. Slide me into the tank. Move over. What was the difference between the Big Bang and the Gallic Gun? I mean, I know the posing on the Gallic Gun. What makes the Big Bang the Big Bang?
It's a ball.
Okay. Just a big ball. I remember Final Flash because he brings his hands together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goku is mad that Vegeta keeps killing people. But Vegeta says, Super Saiyans tend to be violent.
You know what?
And Ginyu immediately calls him out.
Make a note of that, kids at home. We're gonna unpack that later. Normally I don't call stuff out like this, but during Jace's chase down as he's being pursued in the Frieza ship, and there's like a bunch of steam everywhere, and Vegeta's coming out of the mist like a fucking slasher villain.
That was really cool.
I was a big fan of that, but Jace is straight up sounding like he is passing a brick. It is just like,
yeah.
It is nuanced.
You don't attack a man who's doing some business, you know. This is an evolutionary survival mechanism. That's on his
gotta be in the Geneva Conventions.
Wait till they're done washing their hands. No. Then you can kill them.
No beams while they're going two skis.
The bathroom is a beam-free zone.
Ginyu, in Goku's body, tries to attack Vegeta, but Vegeta proceeds to beat the hell out of him with about two punches.
Yeah.
And immediately breaks every bone.
Yeah, leaves him just broken and crumpled on the ground.
A Goku-shaped crater.
Much like Krillin and Gohan, Vegeta's probably going to work out some things in this moment.
This episode is a prime opportunity for everybody present.
This is all about Goku being a little weaker than he should be, and everyone else just kind of getting their turn.
Ginyu had no idea he was actually just making everybody a lot more emotionally stable.
It's a free therapy session at Ginyu's expense.
Gives them a Goku-shaped pinata.
Ginyu decides it's about time to swap bodies again.
Huh, weird.
And Goku figures out the plan, and we get
Vegeta's
a cliffhanger.
About to beam him into oblivion.
We get a cliffhanger at the end of this episode of the beam heading to catch Vegeta, and Goku just yelling, "No!
No!
Vegeta, flying literally anything but a straight line."
Well, was it the Prometheus school of running away from the
right? Yeah. Exactly. What was it?
But even then, you just, like, curve a little bit before you go down.
Any other closing thoughts for episode 73?
Hey, did you see that frog come out of the ground?
Oh, yeah.
What was that about?
Is that in this episode?
It
I thought I wrote that down.
Soon.
Yeah, he pops out, he pops out around the same time Vegeta starts his zoom down.
Just a friendly little anime frog. I mean, he's probably not going to be important to the plot.
I mean, there's been some foreshadowing that similar frogs have popped up throughout the Ginyu Force arc. Some frog shadowing.
Oh.
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
No, you had it right the first time.
Frog shadowing.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of both. I am both sub and dub on this.
Episode 74, the English title is Captain Ginyu ... The Frog.
The frog.
I forget. Is there a question mark after this, or?
I think it's just a statement.
Just a statement.
I think it's just. Yeah, there's nothing after. It's like Captain Ginyu, the frog.
Just a friendly little spoiler.
The Japanese title roughly translates to "Great miscalculation. Captain Ginyu has become a frog." So, spelling it even further for the audience at home.
Great miscalculation.
So the episode begins with an immediate resolution to the last cliffhanger, which is Goku jumping in the way of the change beam, and he manages to get into his old body again.
Like a Secret Service bodyguard.
Not the Prince of All Saiyans!
Not my friend! Who I've decided is my friend.
Back in his own body, crumpled on the ground, and he just says, "Yup, I did it."
Super.
Our hero.
That's our Goku.
Ginyu quickly needs to get out of his old body if he doesn't want to die. A busted up Goku tries to intervene by standing up and shooting a Kamehameha in a very dramatic fashion, and he totally whiffs it, lays up an air ball, and falls back into his indent in the ground as if nothing happened.
Yeah.
Just right back where he started.
And he's just got that voice like I get like that that Roiland Stagger again, where he's just like, "Oh man, I just can't do it. Fuck, oh, I'm not strong." Flop.
Ginyu keeps trying to do the swap with Vegeta, but that little bugger won't sit still.
he's just too quick, fast,
bopping him from every which way,
punching cuts into his armor.
But why does Ginyu just keep laughing every time he takes a hit?
Yeah, it's weird.
He's some kind of an enjoyment out of it, but I'm not sure what.
And obviously, Vegeta doesn't hear Goku when he yells, "Vegeta, he's just letting him beat you so he can steal your body."
The thing you just saw him do with me. You were there.
He's going to do it to you.
You had front row seats. There's literally no way you could have missed what happened. It's why you're fighting him right now instead of me.
Is it, though? Or is he just... is he still thinking they're switched and this is just his opportunity to beat up Kakarot in a different body now, too?
Or did he never know that Ginyu was in Goku's body to begin with?
Matt, Vegeta's a Super Saiyan now. He's just gonna fight everybody.
They're known to be violent.
They're known... And as Vegeta said in a previous episode, he's a freaking genius.
There's an inconspicuous shot of the frog burrowing out from under the Dragon Balls.
Yeah, that's where it was.
Pay that no mind.
Silly me.
I'm sure it's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing to really.
Can you force trainees accidentally buried the frog?
That's really efficient. Frogs like dirt, right? Sure.
Yeah.
Ginyu prepares his change beam one more time and aims it at Vegeta again.
Well, this will land for sure.
For sure.
Change beam, baby, yeah. One more time.
Bow.
And it, in fact, is one more time. Because yeah. That's the last time he's going to use it.
It's Ginyu, bitch. The frog that we saw hops into arm's reach of Goku, who quickly comes up with the plan, and he launches it into the air.
Oh, fastball special.
When this happened, I remarked to my brother, "Man, this is the most dramatic frog throwing I've ever seen." To which he responded, "How many frog throwings?"
Exactly.
To which you say, clearly you've never seen JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
How's the music on the Japanese side?
It was intense.
Is it?
Very dramatic.
I will have to share with you guys the Faulkner version, because it is also some intense music that they use later in the series for more intense scenes, but it started here. The frog is in the air. It is intercepted by Ginyu's beam. So, unfortunately for Ginyu, he's now trapped in the body of a frog.
And now Ginyu, his body, is possessed by a frog soul and then leaps around in a way that I think they thought was cute, but is actually horrifying.
His joints shouldn't work that way.
No.
Not at all.
That shouldn't. Yep. Shouldn't
well,
work,
that's the thing.
But it did.
Do we know they're not supposed to work that way? Is it just did it just never occur to Ginyu that they could bend in that inhuman shape?
Who are we to presume alien physiology?
True. So Vegeta catches wind of what's finally happening.
It's a little confused at first, but Goku tries to explain the situation.
Yeah. at Vegeta's demand.
And you'd think, like, just like all the other Ginyus, he would, you know, finish for the job and kill this last one.
Yeah, you'd think.
And you're wrong. He shows that Goku mercy on him.
And why does he do that, Jason?
Well, because he doesn't want to get frog guts on his boots.
It's fair.
Heaven forbid. I mean, he did just change, so I kind of get it.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
And those dryers take a long time.
Those dryers take forever.
Yeah, he literally could have just beamed the frog.
Yeah. Boop,
it's just so weak it's not worth the energy of beam. Or maybe he doesn't have a beam in him.
Well, we do learn later that this whole ordeal took more out of Vegeta than he is letting on.
Mm. He's a tired boy. Mm.
He does taunt the frog and chases it away and says one of my favorite lines.
Oh?
Which is, "Get along, little froggy."
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, I was watching with my wife, who was about to fall asleep, until he said that line, and then she jolted awake and said, "Did he just?"
Vegeta knows that he's going to need some help taking care of Frieza, so he wants to get Goku tossed in the healing tank right quick. So they bring him aboard
Gohan
the Frieza
and
ship.
Are moving too slowly for his taste.
There has been a lot going on in this one setting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, Frieza's little Namek camp. Like, even in all the background paintings, the dome is still blasted out from Vegeta.
And then the other hole where Vegeta exited is still blasted out.
He's just making holes.
He doesn't do doors. He doesn't do previous entrances.
I wish that were a more constant aspect of Vegeta's character, is that he never used a door. He just made a new hole, whatever he needs to leave somewhere.
Doesn't believe in it. So, I've got a note about the scene. This scene, I remember as a kid, just struck me as so surreal
and
cool. Because good guys were good, bad guys were bad, and they didn't just fucking hang out.
Oh my gosh, yeah, this whole thing was
really
cool.
And not fight
cool.
each other. I do love it, because it's just Vegeta and Gohan and Krillin hanging out, making small talk.
Just chatting. They bring Goku aboard, and he sees a needle.
Starts freaking the fuck out.
Flip shit.
Not a fan.
Vegeta lets it go for like 30 seconds before saying, calm down, I'm not gonna fucking needle you.
Yeah.
As Goku claws his way away from Krillin. So Goku gets tossed in the healing tank. This will probably be a quick little heal, right?
He said about an hour.
About an hour.
It should be two episodes, right?
We should keep track of that, maybe.
Yeah, an hour. Take note, folks.
Two episodes. So he'll be back.
They ask Vegeta something about, like, if there's other ones.
He says why are we using an older model? Model?
Yeah, do you have any fucking iPhone X healing tanks over anywhere?
Yeah, I blew those
Vegeta
up.
Says, my second favorite line, my first one comes later.
Uh-huh.
I kind of broke them. Yeah. But he, like, kind of pauses after I.
Yeah.
Kind of broke them. No, dude, you hella did.
Obviously, we need to know what's in that healing tank, by the way.
Yeah, the tank fills up, and Krillin's curious to know, what's this all about? How does this work?
Is he going to drown? No, idiot, he's got a mask on.
Yeah, like, we see the mask.
I like that they put in the voiceover of Goku. Like, yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Sean Schimmel just getting that paycheck.
You're breathing right now.
Apparently that fun pod is filled with synthetic Saiyan DNA.
That's how healing works.
Yeah.
But you guys are the only Saiyans.
Yeah, but Frieza...
You just have to...
Frieza uses that on everybody?
I guess. Maybe
where did
it's
he get it?
Maybe he has to hit the buttons for Saiyan. Because as we know, when you're injured, you have to just kind of chill in a tank of synthetic dude slurry. And you're fine. I'm really sorry about that phrase. It was not good.
Maybe he's trying to make artificial Zenkai boosts.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That makes sense. I believe that.
Just coax a little extra juice out of everybody.
That's part of why he killed. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, Tyler, what does Krillin think of all this?
Well, it's Mondo Cool, Jason.
That's right, Tyler. Mondo Cool.
God, this was my favorite line.
It's
that's right,
everybody's favorite line, I think.
Mondo Cool.
That's right, boys. Mondo Cool.
It's so good. It's got the best mouth feel. It's amazing.
That's right, boys, before that makes it for me.
Right. He's so pleased with himself.
Yes.
In his own head.
It's amaze.
Gohan and Krillin get some sweet new duds.
Ooh, the magical expando armor of the Frieza Force. We learned some lore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can stretch to almost any size.
Any size.
One size fits all for all of Frieza's minions.
So, I forget if we've been through this before. Is the Frieza armor based on Frieza's body? Is Frieza wearing armor, or is that his natural chitin?
Frieza is wearing armor because he blasts it off later.
Oh, does he blast it off?
Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to double check that.
And then he gets naked.
Oh, boy.
I want to see the tests for this expanding armor, because he says almost any size. And the largest we've seen was that giant ape.
Yeah.
It was big, it was ape.
How far did they get it before it snapped?
Do you want to see the, like, Edna Mode Elastigirl test?
Somewhere in the Frieza Force HQ is Edna Mode with her. Very excellent.
And it's machine washable down. Is there a new feature?
Is there a small planet somewhere wearing Frieza armor?
The living planet. Just with a big set of shoulder pads.
How do they make it smaller for, like, a mouse-sized recruit?
They just put it in the wash on heat.
Yeah.
Do they have mouse-sized recruits?
I don't think they do, but that's an oversight, in case they ever did get one.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Goldo had to go on the chili burger diet.
We gotta bulk you up.
He was too small.
You don't quite fit in this armor yet.
They're gonna have to get something frog sized for our Captain Ginyu, because I'm sure even as a frog, he can still pull rank.
He's a captain.
Valuable part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And as we see later,
panache.
As we see later, he is still gonna fight for Frieza.
So we know now that Goku's gonna be in that tank for about an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So everybody's got some time to kill, and Krillin takes off to try and go get the password from Guru.
First, Krillin complains a little bit because Vegeta's armor, he notices, has more flexibility and looks cooler.
They spend like 5 minutes just straight up dunking on Saiyan armor for a good chunk. Vegeta's about had it. That's why I thought he was like making these kind of like injured noises. Not because he was injured, but because he's just about had it up to here with his fucking Earth-O nonsense.
Insulting his Saiyan pride.
It's fine.
He can't handle Krillin's snark.
Though I do say, you know, Gohan and Krillin reflect my views in that I really like this, you know, I might have mentioned it before, really love this design for Vegeta's armor.
It's probably optimal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The last note I have for this episode is that Vegeta appears to be struggling real hard with something.
Mm-hmm.
That boy is sweating.
We never really see what it is, though. It's not like he pulls his hand away from his chest and, oh, it's stained with blood.
Yeah, it's true.
He's just kind of struggling.
Yeah, he's just something. Pressed up against the wall and, like, breathing heavy.
He's
got one eye closed.
He's got the plot injury.
He's just feeling really bloated.
Just tired. He's had a long day.
Any closing thoughts for 74?
They're starting to be friends.
I will say, as a fond childhood memory of this show, when these episodes, the Funimation dub, finally kicked off after those several sessions of reruns of the first chunk.
The many moons.
Toonami started playing commercials or like previews of what was coming up.
Little spots.
And the first time I saw Krillin and Gohan wearing this armor out of context, I was just very confused. Like, what is going on in this show? What happened to them?
Krillin and Gohan made a heel turn.
Why are they working for the bad guys?
Those shoulder pads must mean they're evil.
Those are evil shoulder pads.
Why?
That's where it's stored.
Did Gohan get kidnapped by another dad?
Kinda.
He's wearing Vegeta's clothes now.
You know what he is? He's wearing the lighter blue that we see Vegeta showing up with first.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Gohan just sort of absorbs and becomes whoever is his current caretaker.
Whoever wants to be the father figure, he'll take him.
He does the little kid thing of mimicking grown-ups, but only by wearing their exact outfits.
Well, next episode, he mimics Vegeta a little bit.
He does. Episode 75, the English title is Password is Purunga.
What could that password be for?
The Japanese title roughly translates to Those Who Have Gathered the Seven Balls, Speak the Password.
So the episode begins with Gohan doing some warm-ups outside.
Punches, looking in the water, seeing how cool he looks.
I love this a lot.
Yeah.
Because he's doing these punches and kicks, and I feel like this plants the seed to what Gohan aspires to truly be.
Oh, yeah.
Because he says, I am Super Gohan, the universe's most powerful Saiyan good guy.
Uh-huh.
And there's, like, cutesy planets and stars behind him, and I feel like this plants a bit of something that will blossom forth into a desire to be some kind of a superhero. Mm-hmm.
Kind of icon of justice.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Maybe he's inspired by the antics of the Ginyu Force, and he's like, what if someone did that but was good?
Have you played the story mode of FighterZ?
Not all the way.
It comes up in that.
Oh, boy. I need to get back on it.
Uh-huh.
Android 20, what, 1? Ain't gonna unlock herself.
Vegeta checks on Gohan outside. He's getting ready to catch some Z's.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and takes a little nap with his boyfriend.
Yeah, he, like, leans against the pod. Like, you could've...
Oh my god.
There's so many rooms in that ship.
A bed somewhere, Vegeta.
I think something's happening. And they don't have a clue.
All in love, and here's the bottom line.
They'll reach Super Saiyan Blue.
Today's the Disney musical episode.
It is. Yeah,
the season finale turned out to be a musical.
I mean...
Scrubs ain't got nothing on us.
Hell yeah.
I like that Vegeta continues to refer to himself as a Super Saiyan, no matter what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, he sits down to take his nap, and he's like, a Super Saiyan needs his rest.
Yes, yes.
So he sets a little alarm for himself.
He is so sure.
Dende, still flying, sees a figure on the ground, crumpled and dead.
A bald figure. It has to be Krillin.
Yes, sees a large, massive, beefy, blue, bald silhouette. And because of that last modifier, obviously must be Krillin. Oh no!
But it's just Birder.
It's just Birder's mangled corpse.
Yep, there's that.
Still there, left forever.
Yep.
Not getting the grave.
I'm surprised they just didn't animate weird cartoon flies buzzing around at this point. Just to really hammer the point home.
Nail continues to barely cling to life, fighting against Frieza. He hopes to get a sneak attack while Frieza's guard is down, but the dust clearing says no.
He pulls the old turn my back to you and then just quickly beat me in the face.
So Nail gets struck down, finally. He's on the ground, and he pulls a Piccolo.
It tries to get the last word in?
By spilling the beans about what's going on with the Earthlings and jacking the Dragon Balls.
Damn it.
You had one job.
Gohan, who is still guarding the Dragon Balls, is just kind of daydreaming to himself as one of them starts to roll away on its own.
We are not going to have any more filler about Dragon Balls rolling away. I refuse this. I refuse this at every turn. No. 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 No more.
Did you catch which ball is rolling away as well?
I did.
Yeah.
The Gohan escapes the Gohan.
Gohan. Catch the Gohan.
Krillin meets up with Dende, and they both start heading back towards Frieza's ship to finally get this show on the road.
Did it feel kind of coincidental?
On this giant planet? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, granted, Dende came from the place that Krillin was going to, but they were going in completely opposite directions when they ran into each other. Yes.
That it's just a straight line that they keep bumping into each other on. Gohan realizes that the Gohan is missing, and he sees the Ginyu Frog, who's trying to steal the ball.
He's still showing that dedication for Frieza.
Absolutely.
He is down, but not out.
Gohan shoos him away, and Ginyu encounters a very sexy lady frog. And you can tell because she's pink and has lipstick.
and basically said, "Hey there, lover boy."
The lady frog Pepe Le Pew's getting you into the horizon. And that's the last we'll see of him, for sure.
Ever, yeah. I will make a note that I loved how Ginyu's voice actor made all the nuanced ribbits.
Yeah.
As a frog.
That was dedication.
He's got ribbits. Ribbits for being panic. Ribbits for being a sneaky boy. Ribbits
for trying to look like an innocent frog.
By whistling.
And leaning against the Dragon Ball you were trying to push over a tiny hill.
Dende, as they're flying back, lets Krillin know that the password is in Namekian, and the reason Guru didn't originally tell them the password is because he didn't believe that they'd get all the Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, he did read his mind. Thanks for dooming more of your planet, Guru.
I appreciate that Krillin doesn't even get mad about that. He's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah.
We almost didn't.
Yeah, that is a decision that has a body count attached to it, Guru.
Oof. Oh yeah.
So good job.
My favorite part of this moment was when Krillin and Dende are catching up, and Krillin goes, "So what are you doing out here, Dende?" And Dende goes, "Oh yeah, I'm here to tell you the password." And there's just like a small pause. Well, what is it?
So they get ready to use the Dragon Balls, and it's the perfect opportunity because Vegeta's still snoozing. It's just the three of them.
Don't wake Vegeta.
Don't wake my blue daddy.
You ever played that game in the 90s? The only problem is that you keep hitting that clock, and if Vegeta pops out of bed, he destroys your planet.
You get disintegrated.
Dende calls forth the dragon, which is a much more intimidating dragon than the Earth one.
Imagine Shenron, but a big beefy dude.
Yeah, he's much more like genie-like.
Purunga is the name of the dragon.
Yes.
Which Dende lets them know is the dragon of love.
I made a note of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love him, so I believe it.
Yeah. Well, it makes me wonder, like, because Namekians, they just, I mean, they spit out eggs. So, like, I mean, do they have lasting committed partnerships? Or is it more of, like, a community kind of love?
Probably communal.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah. I don't think they have, like, a concept of intimacy.
It takes a village to raise a Dende.
As we saw.
Which is why it's such a bummer that his village is all dead.
And this episode ends with the gang getting ready to make their three wishes to the dragon as Frieza frantically races back to the ship.
But who's now that he knows that the jig is up from the distance, from a cliff?
Mm.
None other than the frog, Captain Ginyu, the
with
tear
a big
in
old
his eye,
smooch mark on his
and
face.
Big old
smackaroo.
Oh, my poor boy.
Did anybody else have to do a double take at that shot of Frieza at the end of the episode?
Yeah, that was an alarming shot. Not only because it's so sinister, but also because Frieza's missing his lipstick.
Yeah, I had to look at it for like a minute before I could figure out why Frieza looks so wrong.
Something is wrong. Yeah, that lady frog stole it.
Only a genius can spot these two.
Frieza's hate him. These two idiot Earthos and this one Namekian summon the dragon with this one weird old trick. It's Purunga.
Namekian kids will remember this.
No, they won't, because there's only one.
Before we move on, we should talk about what we were going to talk about last time, which is the nature of that change beam.
Yeah.
And the debate therein, and whether or not that's Ginyu's original body.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah, because he does say, I need to get back to my body. Or, no, he says, like, I'm back in my body.
So, when he's in Goku's body, all of the beams he shoots are Ginyu's beams.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're colored the same way. He's not doing Kamehamehas or anything like that.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to do any of that shit.
And even when he's charging up, it's not blue energy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And it seems like he is the only one who knows how to do this change beam.
Yeah.
Like, if Goku wanted to, he couldn't just say change beam and do it, as far as we know.
Yeah.
Right.
So, are beams just mental?
Is it
like,
spirit?
It doesn't have to be the mind of the person?
Is it the soul?
Is this really just Mob Psycho 100? Just psychic battles?
At the very least, they don't seem linked to the body.
Yeah, because it was definitely like he was piloting, you know, a mecha that he wasn't used to.
Yeah.
And he only knew his powers.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. There is definitely some validity to that. That all of Dragon Ball Z is actually just psychic battles with buff guys.
Yeah. If that's the case, though, then, like, why do all the training under all the gravity? Is it just, like, increase your willpower? Or do souls have mass?
Like Goku said, you have to train your body and your mind.
Ah, Goku knows.
So do you think this is Ginyu's original body?
Hmm.
And he only pops out occasionally to get a job done, and then changes back.
I prefer to stick to the theory that he's been trading up all his life.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that I like.
That creates a more interesting fiction to me, and it's just that this current one has been the strongest model he's found in a while, so he's gotten used to it to call it, you know, his body.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have, it's like my apartment. Even after you move out, it's like, oh, that's my apartment.
He's changed multiple times, but I think his original body, the purple horn one, is like a home base for him. And he just keeps going back to it.
So on whatever base the Ginyu Force is set up at, Ginyu just has like bodies in freezers.
Oh, that would
that he can
yeah,
just
he's
switch
like,
into
in Bison.
Yeah.
He just keeps dolls around.
Here's my Tuesday bod. Here's my Wednesday bod.
Grease up those Saturday body horns. We're going out on the town.
We're gonna paint the town purple.
Paint it milky.
Hated that. Hated all of that.
Ooh. Yucko.
Well, if we're done talking about the episodes this week, the next thing we gotta do is hail Satan.
Hail Woo! Satan.
How's he doing?
Briefly, what happened last time.
Good lord.
At the beach.
Oh yeah, are we still in
Hercule. Hard to say. Hercule got called out to fight the farmer in his mech / exo suit that he built from junk parts from various spaceships that have landed on Earth. And Hercule, champion of the people as he is, agreed to the fight, but had to
but
change out of
that
his,
he is
had to change out fight. Of his bathing suit first and ran away. While all of this was happening, Videl got picked up by her mom, Beelzebarbara.
Yeah, got kidnapped, but not really.
Kinda, sorta kidnapped. I mean, she is a criminal, but...
Also her mom,
Videl mostly
so...
went willingly.
Yeah.
Beelzebarbara and her crew, the bad chicks, are searching for the Dragon Balls that don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably gonna go well.
But they don't know they don't exist.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I'm not sure how many people on Earth would even know that they don't exist. There's Master Roshi.
Only the people Chi-Chi. Who aren't on Earth.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah, Roshi would know. Who, coincidentally, is now chasing after them?
Roshi is?
What's that?
Roshi is, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
oh, yes.
Turtle
Roshi,
went back.
Roshi and Turtle are trying to help Videl. And Chi-Chi and Oolong are bonding and blowing off some steam at the gun range.
I forgot about that.
Just palling around.
A friendship that you wouldn't expect, but it just feels right.
It does. It feels extremely right.
Bulma's gone, so Oolong needs another angry lady to hang out with.
To make himself whole.
I need this.
Oh, fuck. Is Oolong a sub?
Oh. Well,
I mean, do you remember his fucking origin story?
No.
Vaguely. Yeah.
He was kidnapping teens and girls from a village and bringing them to live in his mansion with him.
Ooh.
But when everybody found out where they were all just bossing him around.
Yeah. They were just bullying him.
Into, like, buying stuff for them.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh,
oh no. Oolong needs
wanted
a
him
findom.
To
oh,
friends.
No.
He
That's
just wants to be
wanted.
Stepped on.
I mean, this is the kind of friend that he's after.
A bossy one.
You know what? We're not here to shame or judge.
No.
Or,
no.
It's what he's comfortable with.
It's a valid thing. No.
Oolong, you live your life.
Just
chase
please,
your bliss.
Please do not try to steal her panties. It will not work well for you.
It will not be great.
I think he's given those.
He and Ox
he's
King
given
well
that up.
Murder,
yeah, he's not about that lifestyle anymore.
It's been a long
he
time.
He's got his wish panties.
Yeah,
he's been sated.
They were the greatest pair.
Yeah, where do you go from there?
Mm-hmm.
We have several fronts that we could check in on. We have Hercule and Zenzu Briefs teaming up to rescue Videl. We have Roshi and Turtle on their own mission. We could check in with the search for the Dragon Balls. Chi-Chi and Oolong hanging out. There's also the Catch Me If You Can with Cannoli and Officer Hover.
Oh, God, I forgot about them.
Cannoli the Third.
And then there's also the landing pod in New East City.
It's been kind of quiet there.
With Bartholomew Tender.
Oh, I forget. Did Cannoli ever run into the landing pod and Zeshin and Bun?
I don't think we ever... specifically said he went in there.
Well, here's my thought. If Senzu was working at the landing pod as a line cook to keep an eye on the green-eyed children.
Uh-huh.
So now that he's gone, you know, there's a slot open, there's a position. One that maybe Cannoli, being pursued by the law, might be keen to hide out in because...
He's really low. Yeah.
He looks like...
Can make some cash all under the table.
He looks like both the proprietor and two of the employees of this establishment. What a perfect cover-up.
Yeah, that's a pretty good hiding spot for him.
Mm-hmm.
Just hiding in plain
What's he know how to
sight.
Cook?
Oddly enough, he makes really great cannoli.
You'd think that would
Figured
be too
I should
the
learn.
Nose, but no.
Mayor Happerford's favorite place to go. She doesn't really know why, though. Just something about it.
It just makes her feel at home, surrounded by these boys that all look like someone she once knew.
They look familiar.
They remind me of someone. But who?
So business is probably bustling there.
Oh, for sure.
If it's the mayor's favorite restaurant on the Citadel. I forgot another one that we could check in on is the T-Rex and Sabretooth, who have traveled to Namek via magic.
All right, we need to tie some of these loose ends.
Oh, boy. Yeah. This is the MGS4 of Hail Satan, where we're going to bring everyone in.
I think they... I mean, they must have wound up on Namek from, like... Baba gave them their first chance at, like, doing actual magic, and they just...
Like, some true-ass magic.
Fucked it right up.
Yeah, they accidentally did a teleporting spell.
They didn't account for the T-Rex's tiny arms. The Sabretooth couldn't say the incantations right because of his teeth.
Right. The spell was supposed to teleport Gohan to them.
Yeah. Whoops. They popped the instant transmission like two seasons early.
So, how do they get back to Earth?
Well, they're probably still looking for Gohan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they've seen Bulma now.
They have.
So that little brat's gotta be around here somewhere.
I don't know if anyone would be able... either of them would be able to put that together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Baba intentionally sent them to Bulma.
Oh, because...
because Bulma broke the crystal ball.
Right, she's got a score to settle.
So that was the price for travel, is like, you gotta do me a favor first. You gotta off this blue-haired chick.
They didn't account for Krillin.
Oh no, but does that mean that... does T-Rex Tailstake die? Because he, like, slumps over in the episode of the show.
For now.
Are you saying does he get wished back by the Dragon Balls?
There's some future events that could play into that, maybe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Okay, so T-Rex Tailstake is dead. Sabretooth Tiger finds his partner, his other familiar.
Slumped over in a cave.
Is devastated.
Yeah. Has a burial because he has learned to grieve by being around so many dead souls in the other world and delivering their magic potions to them.
Does he return to Baba? Is he ripped back out of existence into Baba's keep because they are linked via familiar magic?
Does he have a kick?
Yeah, that's my question.
She does have a habit of bringing dead people into her domain. So I would argue yes.
He has a ripcord back to Earth?
Oh, yeah. God. So we cut to the yokai bar. Baba snaps her fingers. The Sabretooth appears, and he's just super shaken up. 2 seconds later, the T-Rex appears.
But with a little halo.
With a little halo
over his head.
Yeah.
No, he's in ghost form with the little tail.
Little tail.
Little ghost tail.
Oh, yeah.
To be fair, this is the happiest day he's had because his tail is back in some way.
Oh.
That's all he wanted.
You know, he's got to look at the positives.
So does T-Rex still get to be Baba's familiar while he's in ghost form, or does he need to go hang out in the home for infinite losers?
He's not a loser.
No, yeah. He's a winner in my book.
He is.
I would say he's still her familiar. Oh, he gets to hang out with
Baba. Probably pulled some strings.
I don't remember what happens when a familiar dies. It's something like it transfers like 2d6 damage to the caster or something.
Yeah, but that's in a world where death has consequences.
Good point.
Where do the bad chicks go next to look for a Dragon Ball? I think we'll close it with that.
Where does at least one Dragon Ball always live? The desert. There's always one out there.
So they're gonna comb the desert.
Is that just what Launch says?
Yeah.
There's always one.
I'm trying to think what Videl would know. What Videl would think of.
Because they kidnap Videl because she...
Well,
she's the brains.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Videl's watched all of Dragon Ball, so she's probably going...
She's watched all the world tournaments.
Yeah. So she's probably going off the theme song. So, somewhere in a field, luminous and blinding.
Should be really easy to find.
So they're going to take a plane to the desert.
Sure. The big capsule core jumbo jet.
What's it called? The airboat?
Yes, the airboats. Yeah.
The Capsicorp airboat.
And then Senzu and Hercule were probably pretty close behind him.
I mean, Senzu is flying in his exosuit.
Yeah. I mean,
that is built from spaceships.
And Mark is just riding it.
Yeah, Hercule
sitting on top.
Hercule is tethered to it with a rope.
You can always figure out what part of the world you're in by the weird rock formations that make up the background painting. So, I mean, there's always one Dragon Ball in the desert. There's always a Dragon Ball where all the background plants are mushrooms. There's always one where there's pyramids. There's always one where there are weird spires.
It'd be hard to find the one with the pyramids since the pyramids got blown up by Piccolo.
That's true.
And, and Goku.
As a part also, of his quote-unquote training.
And also, the Dragon Balls aren't there. So.
Also that.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be...
Worth remembering.
It's going to be real tricky. It's going to be three chickens labeled 1, 2, and 4 on this planet.
Except they're not even chickens, they're just ducks.
Well, we'll check in with all of these groups next time on their progress. Until then, Jason.
Can we say the Dinos and Sabertooth Tiger storyline is closed enough
for now. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, they will
hang out in Otherworld with Baba, having failed their mission.
They're grounded from the plot.
They're grounded.
They failed to defeat Bulma.
They failed the mission, but found themselves.
Aww.
And became closer as friends.
They experienced death.
Sure.
Everybody gets one.
It's true.
Literally.
Jason.
Yeah?
What time is it now?
I think it's time for a 4-star reading, Tyler.
Who do you got lined up this week?
Oh, you're gonna love it. So, for the folks at home who may not know, some folks in Dragon Ball Z have canonical birthdays and as such have canonical astrological signs. So what we like to do at the end of each episode is to flip to the horoscope section and give everyone a little bit of a reading, a bit of a pearl of wisdom to take home with them and see how things pan out. This week, the target of my 4-star review is Captain Ginyu himself.
Time for an obituary.
Oh, indeed.
Well, he's still alive.
No,
he's
just fine.
A frog now.
Yeah.
he's only dead on the inside.
So,
Jason, before you begin, is it Captain Ginyu's body or Captain Ginyu in the frog?
Well, I'm putting it down as just Captain Ginyu the frog.
Okay.
Even though that frog canonically appeared now, I'm going because it's Ginyu's soul?
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Sure.
Captain Ginyu first appeared in the manga on April 24th, and that's how we use... that's what we use to make sort of a fake non-birthday for those who don't have canonical ones. So in this case, that would make Captain Ginyu and, by extension, all of the Ginyu Force, a Taurus. Ginyu, here's your reading. You're bound to meet a great deal of frustration if you try to fight the current circumstances. The key is to take what you are given and make the best of it. Whining and moping won't make things better, but you've got a lot to be proud of and thankful for, so don't throw it all away by thinking you're powerless. Create your own destiny.
Just because you're a frog doesn't mean you can stop them from wishing on the dragon.
That's some powerful advice for him right now, I feel like.
Yeah.
He definitely needs to hear that.
A little bit.
Well, thank you all for listening in again. I appreciate everyone who tunes in every week. Next week is going to be a little bit different for Destructo Discourse.
How so?
Instead of watching episodes, we're going to take a break from the TV show, and we're going to watch a TV special that is going to be relevant to the plot going forward.
Ooh, oh, I'm excited.
Get the popcorn.
What's on the menu, Tyler? What are we listening to?
Which one?
We're going to check in with Bardock, the father of Goku.
That's a good one.
Famed scientist.
The only scientist.
Jason, where on the internet can you be found?
On the internet, one can find me at my Tumblr and my Twitter. And the name for both is JCAVS. That's JAYCALVES.
Aaron, what would you like to let the folks know?
I don't do much on the internet, but I am a regular performer at the Black Box Improv Theater in Dayton, Ohio. We have shows every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So if you're in the Southwest Ohio area, come stop by. My group performs on Wednesday, but there's good shows all the other days, too.
Matt, how about you?
Let's see. You can find me on Twitter at MonumentousMatt. Also, just about everywhere else as Define Prog. You can find me on SoundCloud, YouTube, Tumblr.
You also illustrate the Hail Satan segments.
Oh yeah, I forgot I do that. And you can find those illustrations where, Tyler?
You can find them on our Twitter, which is destructo_disc. If you would like to contact the show, that's a good way to do it on Twitter. But we also have a Gmail, which is destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And we now also have a Discord server, so you can discuss our discourse with us.
Indeed. What is the name of it again? I do believe it is the Destructo Discourse Discourse Discord.
It is called that.
So, if you're...
Very, that is a mouthful.
A very inviting title.
I like it. It's got the great SEO.
You can find the link to that pinned on our Twitter.
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
You come on by.
For that one, though. We don't accept weeklies.
If you would like to help other people find out about the show, you can rate and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever you like to call it. And when you do, hit the 4-star button. It's one below the best one.
But yeah. It's the Gohan. And so it's what we demand.
It's our favorite.
Mm-hmm. It is Give our us the destiny. Gohan. Give us the Gohan.
Thank you all for listening. We will see you next week with our special Bardock episode. Until then, this has been Destructo Discourse.
Never turns to day. Don't you be afraid, he'll fly away. Inshallah, inshallah, no time to hesitate.